Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. Thanks for your patience in the past couple of weeks as some technical problems sidelined the podcast. Moving forward, you can count on new episodes posting on our regular schedule. This episode features two interviews rather different from each other. First, you'll hear my talk with A&M Texarkana counselor Bree Taylor. April is Stress Awareness Month, and Bree shared her best advice on how to cope with stressors large and small. Then you'll hear my conversation with Billy Webb, a survivor of the 1937 New London, Texas school explosion. I think you'll enjoy the story he has to tell. Here's wishing you a safe, stress-free spring. Joining me in the studio is Bree Taylor, Director of Student Counseling and Wellness Services at Texas A&M University Texarkana. Getting all that right kind of stressed me out. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Carl. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. April is Stress Awareness Month, so I really wanted to talk to somebody who might be able to help our listeners understand and cope with stress better. First of all, how do you define stress? I mean, we all sort of have an idea of it, but how do you define it clinically as opposed to something like anxiety?
So it has a pretty simple definition. We just say that stress is the result of a stressor.
Okay.
And sometimes we can eliminate those stresses. Sometimes we can take those stresses out of our lives. Sometimes we can't. So it's helpful to learn ways to deal with them.
So what are some of those common stressors?
So common stressors, my goodness, anything in modern life.
Right.
Bills, you know, the economy, all of the political tension. I mean, there's no shortage of stressors in our life today.
Yeah, I heard one definition. Someone said stress is the feeling that you need to take some sort of action.
Yes.
And there's not always an action you can take, right?
No, there isn't. So sometimes you just have to learn how to signal to your brain that this stress is something that we can work on, or this is stress that we can't. So just learning how to deal with it is the most beneficial way.
Tell me about chronic stress. I mean, some people are stressed out all the time, and that has some really bad health effects, correct?
It sure does. So when we release stress hormones into our bodies long term, that's not such a great thing. Right. In the short term, it's very helpful. It helps us get away from whatever threat we're facing.
Right. It's sort of a fight or flight.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it can be helpful in the short term, but long term, it's not so much. And it can lead to things such as, you know, autoimmune disorders. So we want to learn how to deal with it.
And of course, at the extreme end is post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, stress is really one of the operative words there. I mean, people tend to focus on the trauma, but it's a stress reaction, correct?
Yes, it is a reaction. So trauma is not just what happens to us, but it's also being alone with what happened to us. So sometimes we can go through things that are very stressful, but if we have support, it doesn't become something that's more pathological.
Right. What are some bad ways to cope with stress? What are some better ways to cope with stress?
So probably most of us are aware of a lot of the bad ways, and those involve usually drugs or alcohol. Overspending is another one. You know, some of us prefer retail therapy,
right?
Which is, you know, can be okay, but not if we're spending too much money, right? Another thing that we may do is overeating.
Overeating.
Yeah. Some of us try to numb that through through overeating. So these types of things are just really not helpful long term.
Right. What do you advise students who come to you who are stressed out? I mean, that can be an especially stressful time of life as people are studying and trying to make their grades and so forth.
Absolutely. So everybody that comes into our counseling center, we start by teaching them some coping skills mm-hmm. because therapy can also be hard. And we want to give them tools to be able to manage whatever comes up between our sessions. Mm-hmm. So we work with all of our students to give them some ways of dealing with stress in and out of the classroom.
Right. So what sort of things do you recommend that people listening might be able to put to use?
Yeah. So what we need to do is we need to talk to our amygdala. So that's the part of the brain mm-hmm. that is kind of going off like a smoke alarm, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we need to give it information to let it know that it's not life and death kind of stress. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I'm stressing about a test, I need to tell my brain, hey, this is just the stress of a test. This is not a tiger chasing me.
Right, right.
So I don't need a big rush of the stress hormones. So we can do that by activating our vagus nerve.
Okay.
And we can do that by gargling.
Really?
Yes. Gargling, okay. Chewing. Sucking on an ice cube.
Okay, tell us what the vagus, what did you say, what is it called?
The vagus nerve.
Vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
So the vagus nerve is your 10th cranial nerve, and okay. it actually innerviates your face all the way down to your bottom.
Okay.
It's called the wandering nerve. Okay. That's why we have the real physical reaction to stress. Okay. Because it is telling the whole body you need to mobilize. There's a threat.
Okay.
So we can talk to the vagus nerve and we can let it know, no, this isn't a real big threat. Mm-hmm. The brain can't tell the difference again in the stress between that test mm-hmm. and a tiger.
Right.
So we have to tell it, hey, if I've got time to sit here and suck on an ice cube, there's no tiger chasing me.
Okay.
Right. Singing is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And moving, putting your body in motion. So walking, dancing, singing is mm-hmm. another one. Anything that activates your vagus nerve. Vagus nerve is right in here.
We should say you're pointing at your neck.
I'm pointing at my neck, yeah. Yes. So anything that creates some vibration here in your throat mm-hmm. is going to activate that vagus nerve, which is why singing and chewing and humming, all of those things work.
Well, I should do this more often, I guess.
Yes.
Stress buster.
Yeah.
Have you noticed an increase in people's stress over the course of your career? Is it
Absolutely.
Something getting worse?
Absolutely. I think it is getting worse. It seems like we don't get much of a break between mm-hmm. New events happening on yeah. the world stage. And so I don't think we have time to recover from one thing until another one is already at the door.
And we're getting the constant stimulus, too, from the internet. Is that right?
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the things that we would recommend if you're getting overstimulated by the news mm-hmm. or by what's happening in the world to kind of take a social media break or you know, turn off the news and not focus on that exclusively.
Yeah, that's kind of hard for me in my profession, but I do try when I'm away from work to just turn off the news, maybe listen to some music.
Yes.
Maybe now I'll sing along.
Too. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You mentioned motion. Does regular exercise help? I mean, it seems
absolutely.
Obvious.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's giving some of that survival energy a place to go.
Okay.
So it's not getting stuck inside of us and creating other problems mm-hmm. for us. So, yeah, absolutely.
Can stress lead to other problems like anger management problems, even domestic violence, that sort of thing?
Certainly, which is why it's really good to learn how to regulate ourselves. Mm. And actually, the fastest way to create a relaxation response in your body is to do some deep breathing.
Okay.
So doing some diaphragmatic breathing, which
right.
is breathing from deep in your diaphragm versus more shallow in your lungs.
Right.
That's a really great way.
In through your nose, not through your mouth sort of thing. Mm.
Yeah, and holding it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you inhale and you hold for a bit, and then you exhale a little bit longer than your inhalation, mm-hmm. and then again holding it before you take your next in breath.
You're making me think about meditation, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of meditation techniques are about sort of just following the breath. And is that something you recommend?
Absolutely. Mindfulness as well, because that brings us back to the here and now. Because oftentimes when we're getting stressed, we're future thinking
right.
about something that we're anticipating may go wrong.
Yeah.
So it kind of brings us back to the here and now.
Now, Tell us about mindfulness. It's sort of a buzzword these days. What exactly does that mean?
Exactly what it says. It's just becoming more aware, more mindful of everything in this moment. So,
okay, so it's about being in the now.
It's about being in the now, absolutely. Yeah. So, for example, just an everyday task, let's say washing your hands, okay? Mm-hmm. So you go to the sink and you're noticing the temperature of the water. Mm-hmm. You're noticing what the soap looks like on your hand. What does it smell like?
Right.
What is the texture of it? So you're trying to bring in as many of your senses as possible because that's very grounding
right.
for us.
You sort of get in off the end of that limb where you're thinking about the future or
exactly
or whatever.
Okay. Brings you back to a place of safety.
Right. What about the role of medication? Do some people need some sort of medication to help them with stress and anxiety?
I think some people probably do benefit from medication, mm-hmm. especially when we're talking about very high levels such as PTSD, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Medication is usually required to help keep those symptoms manageable.
Okay.
There's a place for that too.
And professional help, I'm sure, can be really beneficial to people, too.
Absolutely. I think probably best practices of all counselors are to lay down some coping skills right at the start so mm-hmm. that people have an idea of how to stay safe between sessions.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that'll be really helpful to people. It's just something we all deal with. Tell me more about what you do at A&M. What is the counseling and wellness services like there?
So we provide, obviously, counseling services mm-hmm. to our student body. We provide individual group therapy, and we also do some couples counseling. In addition to that, we serve our campus through the Eagle Food Pantry. Mm-hmm. We also have the Eagle Project. That is a program where we provide some basic school supplies and some clothes okay. That are donated to us, and we pass those along to students. We have the Bare Necessities program as well, and that's where we provide feminine hygiene products okay. to students on campus.
That's a problem that a lot of people don't really think about.
Yes, exactly. It can be very costly,
mm-hmm.
and we see the need on our campus, so we try to meet it. We also do some work with special health resources and have them come on campus and do some testing for us and some other education.
How many students take advantage of your counseling services?
Ooh, that is a good question. I want to say the last time I looked at our numbers, we had about 250 individual, unique students that we had served this year mm-hmm. just in the counseling center. There are
right.
many more that we serve in the other services that we provide.
Tell me about your career. How'd you get here?
How did I get to A&M?
Yeah.
Well, I spent almost 5 years in community mental health. Mm-hmm. Working at Community Health Corps here in town, mm-hmm. and that was a wonderful experience. It was very challenging at times, but mm-hmm. it was also a very good experience. But then the position came open at A&M, mm-hmm. so I leaped to
yeah.
Take the advantage of that, and it was wonderful.
Community Health Corps is a resource that people may not know about. Can you describe what that is?
Yeah, so that is the local mental health authority, and they are tasked with providing services to people on Medicaid or people with no insurance.
Okay.
You have to have a qualifying diagnosis to get into services, but they serve a lot of people in this area and do a lot of good work.
So even if you're worried about the financial part, there's help out there.
There's available. Help out there. Absolutely. Genesis Prime Care is another one of our partners in the community that does a lot of really good work.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for taking a minute to talk to us today. I'm going to take some deep breaths and maybe walk around the block now.
Sounds good, Carl.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, everyone. I want you to know how proud I am to welcome Hostetler Roofing as a sponsorship partner. I had the pleasure to meet with some of Hostetler's staff And I could tell they really mean it when they say they're all about honesty, integrity, and accountability. They get it that contractors don't have the best reputation, and they want to change people's minds about that by setting an example. Everything Hostetler Roofing does is about taking care of customers. Whether it's a commercial or residential job, maintenance, repair, or a whole new roof. That's why they offer 5- and 10-year workmanship warranties on everything they do. Hostetler has a huge variety of roofing styles and materials available, and they're happy to help you with options to pay for their work, from affordable financing to applying for government grants. It all starts with a free inspection. Just call and ask, and before you know it, you'll get the best advice out there about your roof. Visit HostetlerRoofing.com or call 870-557-4797 to get started. And please mention you heard about them here. Joining me at Cornerstone Retirement Community is Billy Webb. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
You have quite a story to tell. You are a survivor of the 1937 New London School explosion, is that correct?
Well, I was not in that building. My building was a building about 100 yards or so away from the building that where the explosion took place. Mm-hmm. I was in. One building had grades 1 through 4, and the other building had 5 through high school.
Okay.
And my building had been, it was around 3 o'clock, and we got out a few minutes earlier than the other building.
Mm.
And I was started walking home when the building blew.
Oh, my goodness.
The other building blew up.
What do you remember about that moment? What did you hear? What did you feel?
I was in this open field, and I turned, had my back to the building, and I turned and looked, and everything was in the air.
Oh, my
Books
goodness.
And paper just fluttering. It looked like birds flying.
Oh, my goodness.
This notebook paper is what it was. I think now that's what I would assume, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't believe it. I was, I was up about 8 years old when it happened. And I knew my sister was there in the building, and my mother was in the gymnasium, which wasn't attached to the house, the building, but she was there on site when it happened. And I was going to walk home, and had orders to go to the neighbor's house till my mother got out.
Mm-hmm. And your sister did not survive.
No, she did not survive.
I'm so sorry. That must weigh on your heart even after all this time.
Oh, it's every day. Mm-hmm. I can see the building, and the building and this. And the ambulances and all night long, you know, and the mothers and the dads walking on the rubble, looking for their children. Mm-hmm. It was an experience that I just can't get over, you know.
Well, I don't think anybody can expect you to. About 300 people lost their
lives. It was 300, approximately, real close, 300.
And this is clearly one of the worst disasters in Texas history, for sure.
Yes. The building was piped with natural gas all through the crawl spaces. And to this day, I don't know who gave the order to do that type of construction. Mm-hmm. Most buildings have a separate powerhouse that maybe heat with steam.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that in the East Texas field, gas was cheap, and they did it for that reason.
I understand they were using some gas that was just an off product of refining or something like that.
It was separated gas. It was okay to use. In that day and time, there was no odorant in the gas. Mm-hmm. And I think the legislature met real soon, maybe the next day, and passed a law that all gases had to be odorized.
Right. I think a lot of people don't realize that that smell that we're familiar with natural gas is something that's added in just so people can tell if there's a leak.
Yes, that's exactly right. In my career with in the energy industry, of course, I'm real familiar with that type of odorant and so mm-hmm. forth.
Tell me about the aftermath. What was it like in that town after that happened? It must have just been horrible.
Well, I don't remember a whole lot about. We moved real soon after the explosion, and I didn't go back to school there after that, and I don't know, but there was always people that I knew growing up that had lost someone in the explosion.
How did your parents fare after losing their daughter?
It was awful. Mm. It was awful. My parents, I thought my mother would lose her mind.
Yeah, I understand.
My dad, he had to help her a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, he grieved in a different way, you know.
Yeah.
Your only daughter, you know, and mothers are kind of proud of their daughters.
Yeah. Do you have any other siblings?
No.
It was just you after that. One. And you mentioned you went on to a career in the energy industry yourself.
I went to work with, at the time, Humble Oil Company, which is now what was Exxon Company, you know.
My grandfather worked for Humble Oil in Tulsa, Oklahoma, yeah. That's right.
What was his name?
His name was Luther Gamble.
That's not familiar.
Yeah.
I worked almost 40 years with concluding the service. I had to go into the Air Force during that time. And my job with Exxon was mostly handling gas.
Okay.
So I was real familiar with that type of stuff.
Right. So it sort of came full circle.
Uh-huh.
And were you responsible for safety measures?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Very much so.
What has changed in all this time in that regard? I'm sure there are stricter regulations and so forth.
Well, they would not even think about putting gas in a building like that now.
Right.
No. And they shouldn't. It wasn't good practice even then, I wouldn't think.
Right.
I was so young, I didn't know the particulars about it. Mm-hmm. But after, in my working career, I found out how to handle the gas, you know.
You said you were in the Air Force.
Yes.
Where did you serve?
I served most of my time in Wichita Falls at Shepherd Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm. What did you do with the Air Force?
I was in a tech school there, and my specialty was engines, aircraft engines, not the jets. Mm-hmm. The jets weren't very popular then when I was in. Yeah. And I taught engine startup and checkout on B-29s and B-26s. And C-119.
Oh, wow.
And
you know, there's a B-29
yes,
coming
to
town.
Yes, and I can't hardly wait
to go in and take the
tour.
Mm-hmm. I bet that'll bring back some memories.
Oh, yes. I'm waiting on it.
Tell me about your family. You mentioned your wife has passed away.
Yes, she passed away June the 13th of 2021.
Mm. I'm sorry to hear that.
We had near almost 69 years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a blessing.
Very, very good marriage. She was such a smart lady.
Mm-hmm. You have any children?
Yes. Have a son and a daughter. Mm-hmm. The son lives in Eastern Kentucky. He's a pharmacist. And the daughter lives west of Fort Worth in a town called Springtown. Mm-hmm. Her husband has his own company. He's in the energy business.
Ah, interesting.
So I've been still connected with it in a way.
Yeah. I'm curious how you must have felt when other such disasters happen. I bet you remember the Texas City
explosion. I do. I remember the Texas City very much so.
Yeah. Did that bring back a lot of the feelings?
Yes. Yeah. It brought back a lot of memories of how. Yeah.
That was 10 years later, I believe. Uh-huh. Like 47?
Yeah. I think so.
Around then, in case people listening don't remember, that two ships full of ammonium nitrate exploded in the harbor at Texas City and just destroyed the whole town, basically.
Wasn't there a similar one in Beirut, Lebanon that blew up?
That's right. That was recent. Another.
It was similar.
Uh-huh. And same thing happened in West Texas.
Yeah, right. Fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's dangerous stuff.
Oh, it is.
But I'm sure stuff like 9/11, too, sort of brought back memories. That's what I was thinking of when you were talking about the paper falling through the air.
The 9/11, of course, that was a tragedy, awful tragedy. Mm-hmm. When the world could see that, what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you have to say to people who have been through some sort of trauma like this? Would you have any advice for people?
Well, of course, I'm not an expert at that, but mm-hmm. it's something you just have to learn to live with it. Maybe you could have to have, some type of probably people would have to have help from professionals. And I watched my mother and dad grieve so many years of it. Mm-hmm. Of course, my mother, when she grieved till she died.
Yeah. What's your life like these days?
Well, after many years, we moved into Cornerstone, and it got awful hard to keep up a house, mow the grass, cook the meals.
That's hard for me, and I'm 40 years younger than you.
And we moved to Cornerstone, which is a wonderful place. Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful here.
Making friends.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of
stuff.
Yeah. Heard you're a
new friends.
Beanbag baseball. Player.
We have a good time playing beanbag baseball.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great. What else would you like to tell us? What other memories do you have that you'd like to share with people?
Well, I don't know. I had a good career with Exxon. I worked overseas some in the Kingdom of Libya at the time.
Yeah.
It was right before
Gaddafi
took over. I had an experience there that I'll always – it's rather comical now, but at the time it was very serious. I had a friend that was working at another plant. It was about an hour away from by airplane. Mm-hmm. And he called me and asked me, he said, get the Beaver, which is De Havilland Beaver airplane.
Okay.
And come over. I need you. And so I did. I found the pilot and we took off and we landed and I was helping him with his turbine, and I was up on his turbine, and I kind of had a habit of chewing a cigar. Didn't smoke.
Right.
Didn't smoke them, but I had it in my mouth, and the soldier arrested me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because that was just a vice there that they don't like?
Well, they accused me of smoking, and the word fumar.
Oh, right, right.
Then they would say, you fumar. They couldn't speak English.
Right.
And I said, no fumar, no. And
but
anyway, they were going had the wagon there to put me in, mm-hmm. and an Arab that was in charge of the camp there came out and started talking to them. Mm-hmm. And they talked about 5-10 minutes, and they let me go.
So you didn't quite make it to the bridge.
Right, I didn't make it to the bridge. All I could think about was what I was going to have for dinner that night.
Right. Well, it sounds like you've had a wonderful, varied life, despite that horrible thing in the beginning.
Yeah, I did. I had a good career. Another thing about the New London School, I was there at the 50th anniversary, and mm-hmm. I was looking at the bulletin board.
And we should mention the anniversary is in March. It's March the 18th. The 18th, yeah.
And there was a letter, and I looked at it, and it was signed Adolf Hitler.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
And it was a comment. He sent this letter to,
after the explosion?
Yeah, after the explosion.
Sort of a condolences letter?
Yes, sending his condolence.
Interesting. Wow.
And I read the letter, and a few years later, I asked about the letter, and someone said, well, someone got the letter. They don't know where it is.
No, that's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But I thought that was Adolf Hitler. That would...
That just goes to show that this news went out all
over the world. Yeah.
It was a huge story.
Yeah.
I'm sure people in the town heard from other people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me a few minutes today. It's been very interesting, and I'm happy to help share your story.
Well, that type of... what caused that explosion is pretty well taken care of by laws nowadays.
Yeah.
And no architect would put live gas in a building like
right,
that.
Right, right. So as awful as it was, sounds like we all learned something.
We learned, yes.
Well, that sounds like a good place to end. Thanks so much for talking to me.
You're welcome.
Take care.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Follow On the Line on Twitter at OTLTXK and on our website, texarkanagazette.com/podcast. To support the show, post a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. The show is written, produced, and edited by yours truly, Carl Richter, and I'd love to hear from you. Email me at krichter@texarkanagazette.com. I'll see you next time on the line.